At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 272. I know it's not October, but I wanted to bring out my Halloween sweater already. I feel like fall's brewing.
Oh my God, I don't think you responded to my text, but I sent you. I bought a Christmas sweater and a Halloween sweater, and I'm so excited them.
There are 5 weeks in October, so that's going to be a lot of costumes, and I'm scared, but I'm excited, and we need to start.
I don't know if there's 5 weeks, but there's 5 Fridays. But yeah, so we're still going to do our dressing up every Friday, but we are a little concerned because we need ideas.
A lot of them.
Leave them in the comments below,
please. If you want to send those
over, that'd be great.
God bless. Okay, well, we really must be moving on because I fear we've got a Risa Tisa situation on our hands. If you guys don't remember Risa Tisa, who the fuck did I marry?
Who doesn't remember Risa Tisa?
There were some people who weren't on TikTok. I mean, honestly, I was knee deep in that. That was like 80 something. I think there was actually over 100 parts at some point.
And they,
like, it was crazy.
All got like 3 million views at least.
And didn't she get some like Netflix deals of some sort?
I don't know.
Like,
I feel like we should do like a update episode where we revisit some past people, because I don't know what she's up to.
For sure. I remember seeing her with somebody that was going to play her in something. Maybe that was in a dream, and it could have been.
Oh, that sounds,
and this is misinformation.
Great for her. I love that.
Yeah, but she was a great storyteller, and people were really captivated by her story because she had an ex-husband named Legion. That's what she named him. I think it was because of like Legion of Demons, right? Was that what it was?
I don't remember.
It was very, very bizarre, but we did actually cover it. I thought we had, and so I went back and looked, and we did. We just didn't watch through all the parts because there was too many, so we kind of did it in a different kind of way. But we did cover it.
Yeah, I remember covering it. Did we just like recap most of it?
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, it took like 2 days to watch.
Yeah,
it was basically that she had married this man that she thought she knew, but it was pretty fast. It was during COVID. She had some red flags pretty quickly, but she like kept kind of being like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And then she finds out she's married to a pathological liar that has lied about literally his entire life.
Yeah, and a lot of people tried to replicate this around that time. Didn't Haley Bailey get in trouble for doing that? Like trying to make up that she was like, there was like a billionaire and it was like she was dating. Who the fuck did I date? I think she tried to do. Anyway, it did not work out.
The only person it worked out for, ironically, was Brooke Schofield.
That is so true. Yeah, that was like the next big who the fuck did I date, but she called it also who the fuck did I marry.
Yeah.
Now this that we're gonna watch is an actual who the fuck did I marry series, and it went up months ago, but all the comments are like talking about how they're just now seeing this on their For You page in August.
Yeah.
And it's like blowing up and people are really getting into it now, but she posted these months ago and nobody saw it.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, no, I
is
saw it last
crazy?
Night just like scrolling.
Yeah, and we've been getting tagged in this a lot, mainly like towards the end. We've been getting tagged in those parts because she like summarizes what happened in the beginning and people are like, whoa, I need you guys to walk me through this because I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. And so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna watch her parts. I did condense down some of them. We're gonna watch on 1.25x speed. Okay, we're trying to get through this. Like literally most of them are like 8 or 9 minutes long.
Great.
And there's like a lot of them, so you know, let's just start. We have Just Brittany on TikTok. I do have to say, all in all, she is a good storyteller. She's pretty quick about it.
And she has a lot of visual aids and stuff, which I appreciate.
Yeah, she does the receipts. That comes a little bit later on. I think she drops some receipts in part 3 and 4, but then it really starts getting more receipt heavy. So let's just start with part 1 so we can meet Brittany and see how her relationship with Melissa, or at the time, I guess the name
Melvin.
The name is fake.
Yeah.
That's not, it's Melvin now. It's very complicated. It involves a partner who's now transitioned. So regardless, their name is not Melissa. It's a made up name.
Oh, okay.
Part 1 of who the did I marry? First things first, I have to say that I talk kind of fast. The second thing is there are a lot of big red flags. I ignored them and I have to take accountability and responsibility for that because I obviously played a role in being where I am right now. Third thing is I'm going to refer to them as the pronoun as they were in the story. So it will drift and I will keep you on track. Don't you worry. July 2018, I meet a vegan tattooed love is light positivity stud on Twitter. We exchange numbers.
On Twitter already is a bad start.
But I was just going to say, how do you really meet someone on Twitter?
I know people used to do that in the high school days, but like now I'm like, damn, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like if you're meeting people on X, I'm scared. But also that is a 3D printed house, right?
Oh, what's going on?
It is.
What?
Have you ever seen them being printed? It's like a 3D printed house.
You're like making a joke. That's actually a thing.
No. Oh my God. No. That does sound like a joke I'd make, but no, it's actually a 3D printed house. Like they have the machines and it just like puts concrete and prints a house, but unfortunately it's left with all the lumps and bumps.
You know, I feel like if it's cost efficient, anyway, keep playing.
They let her know like, hey, like I'm just getting out of a relationship. I'm super, you know, raw right now. And she's like, oh, it's no problem. Like, you know, like just spreading all of this positivity. Now I'm going to call my ex, Melissa. Okay. Me and Melissa talking every day. I'm just trauma dumping on her and she's just positivity. And even through all of that, she on the back end, like, oh, what size ring do you wear? You know, do you ever think you could be married? Blah, 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 blah. Like all these different questions and cool. I'm like, I'm vulnerable. I'm like open to it. I'm like, whatever. Then through that time frame, she tells me like, oh, by the way, you know, I've previously been married. I'm like, oh, you know, okay. Like we're almost 30. So in my head, I'm like, maybe that's normal. Don't get too much into the details, except for the fact that the girl kind of like robbed her blind and ran away. Cool. Got it. So I'm like, cool. We keep talking. So we sort of skim over that, and I decided that I was going to start looking into opportunities in Texas.
Is that?
Yeah, do you hear that? Guys, I don't know if you can hear what's going on, but there's some kind of, oh my God, they're like chopping it down a tree across
the
street.
I don't know how they cannot hear what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
What's going on. There's a wood chipper in Lily's backyard.
Well, front yard, technically. Or, it's across the street.
Front.
But hopefully it's leaving soon. So if I seem like I'm not contributing much, that's why.
No, what I was actually going to say, and I'll just say it and then play because Lily can't respond. I find it so interesting that people like this exist. I am such an inquisitive person. If somebody tells me, like, especially somebody I'm interested in remotely, and I'm not like shaming her, but just like if they tell me like, oh, I was married and I got robbed. I don't know if that was like literally or metaphorically robbed. They just left me and whatever. I would ask a trillion questions. There is literally no question I would leave unasked. Like if I'm interested in you, I'm gonna ask a lot of questions. So the fact that she's like, just skimmed over that. I'm like, skimmed over a marriage? We don't skim here. We dive in.
And it sort of made sense because I'm like, cool, I know her. I want to start over. So why not move to Texas? So I go and visit. I get there and the vibes are off. Like, we are just not clicking. And I'm like asking questions, like, am I doing something wrong? And she just keeps saying like, oh, you know, you ain't never been in love before. So you probably not used to what it really feels like. Like this is organic and this is how it should be. And you know, you're used to honeymoon phases and that doesn't exist. That's not a thing. And I'm like, okay.
If you are fighting within, I'm going to go ahead and say a month. If there's a vibe that's off within a month, that person is not the person for you. That is going to go horribly wrong. Yes, there is such thing as a honeymoon phase because you literally don't know that person. It's like the same with friendships. If I meet you and we're having like a friendship in the beginning, yeah, we're going to have our like very over the not over the pants. Fuck. Over the shit. Over the, you know, surface friendship.
Oh my God. I don't know what to do about this noise.
Just say it, queen. You and the wood chipper just chime in.
Oh my God. I mean, look at the beginning of our friendship. We were obsessed with each other.
Now we're two old ladies.
Two old hags. If we were like not vibing though, like immediately, and then the response from the other person was like, no, this is how it's supposed to be, I'd be like,
yeah.
I don't think so.
I leave. You know, in my head, I'm like, maybe this is just like one of those awkward situations. I leave and get back to Florida, and she calls me on my phone. She's on the phone on FaceTime crying. Oh, I gotta tell you something. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you know, the reason things were off is because like, I'm married. And I'm like, yeah, like I knew that. Like, no, I'm in my second marriage. Okay. So now she's saying the reason that they got married was because the girl needed insurance. So she was like, oh, it was just supposed to be a short.
Whoa.
Oh, we just got married.
Not even citizenship? Insurance? Come on. Get it somewhere else, honey. If you needed that bad, you probably qualify for Medicaid. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
insurance barely even does anything half the time anyway.
Insurance is a literal scam most of the time. And like, you pay more in your premium and deductible than you will ever receive in healthcare, more than likely, especially if you're at a certain age and you don't have any health ailments. And
the dentist,
most insurances don't even cover the fucking dentist,
or there's what, like a that? Waiting period. But I literally just got a bill in the mail for my last dentist appointment, which I paid like a decent amount while I was there because I had to get some, my teeth look better, but still have some issues. Literally, I got a bill and I was like, what the fuck do you mean? I think they like thought insurance was going to cover some of it, and then they didn't. So now I'm having to pay the rest.
Oh my God.
What am I paying for then? Anyway, weird reason to get married.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think of it like this. I think that America in general, maybe other countries too, but specifically America, like relies on a couple being together in order for them to survive because salaries are low, cost of living is so high. So I understand marrying for financial reasons. Insurance is just a wild one. I guess if maybe they needed, but she doesn't even say like that they needed a health.
Yeah, it was like if you had some kind of like illness or like some kind of recurring care that you were having. Yeah, I don't know. But also being married and divorced twice before you're 30 is
hardcore. That's hardcore.
You're really committed to.
Something's wrong.
You're committed, but also not committed.
Yeah, maybe stop getting married at that point, yeah. I would say.
Short little 30-day annulment or whatever. And, you know, we just ended up not going to court to get it fixed. Like, she don't even live here. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't talk to her. Like, it's not even a real marriage. What? Like, we just did it for the papers.
Oh,
boom. I bet you think the story's over, right? Because why would I stay with somebody that had two wives? No.
No. Wait. So they weren't even together. It was just like as if a friend needed insurance, so they got fake married.
Yeah, I'm she said they don't that even
that's
talk.
Probably not the case.
Also, that's actually, I think, some sort of illegal. Like, that's a felony.
That's the entire,
maybe?
Like, well, it was for citizenship, I think, but the whole plot of the movie The Proposal.
Oh my God. I love that.
Remember,
movie.
Remember, they have the so people like good. Come out and interview them, and they have to like pretend that they're.
When she is chanting. To the window, to the wall, yeah. In the fucking woods. I cried laughing. Oh, Sandra Bullock, the woman that you are. But yeah, no, it is pretty fucking insane to marry for insurance. But what I will say is that everything we learn about this person, I don't know if they're telling the truth.
Well, that's what I just said. I was like, I'm gathering that probably wasn't really the case, but probably interesting not. Excuse.
No. Tells me that she's been now married a second time, one of whom she's divorced to and one who she's still married to. And I should run for the fucking hills. But no, I feel sorry for Melissa because I'm like, your first girl robbed you and your second girl won't divorce you because what? Like, because now she's making these excuses on why their marriage is still continuing. So I'm like, whatever. My move was already planned. My company was already paying out for everything. So I'm like, cool. Like, I'll worry about that later. Because in my head, I'm like, she's making it seem like it's just like this paperwork situation, not like she's like, oh, I'm in a loveless marriage and now I'm moving on or something. It's just like this random thing. Now,
marriage is not a random thing.
I was like, that's kind of a wild thing to be like really just okay with.
Yeah, like if somebody's willing to sign papers, even, I mean, listen, my grandma and like people in my family absolutely married like for random reasons. Like they would, for like citizenship or whatever. They were trying to help the friend out or whatever.
Like you said, like, that's very common. Citizenship, I feel like, makes a little more sense than insurance.
It totally makes more sense. Yeah. Insurance is crazy. I just can't get my head around that. Again, unless you have a terminal or like so dramatic.
If you have a chronic condition that you're needing treatment for a lot, and it would make a big difference. But still,
how sad is that? Fucking America, that somebody
literally
would, if that's true,
yeah,
somebody would need to marry to have health insurance. Yeah. Jesus.
The initial plan was to live with Melissa, but luckily I had like a lot of my company had paid for me to stay in a hotel until I figured it out. And like Melissa's spot was too small. First off, it was too small because it was too small. Secondly, we were just not getting along. And to be fair, I was hungry. She was vegan. I wasn't eating meat. I was not in a good spot.
When she described her like overall mood as bad because she hasn't been eating meat, I thought of Nassim because when I was vegan, he literally went vegan for like 3 years. I think he stopped being vegan earlier than me, but he did the damn thing. Like we would go out and like
eat vegan burgers. I remember I was upset when you were vegan.
I know. Dude, I remember my In-N-Out order would just be like lettuce.
Can I get a grilled cheese protein style? And it's like, lettuce and
literally.
Cheese.
Oh. Well, I couldn't even have that because I couldn't have cheese.
Oh, you can't have cheese. I forgot. Oh my God.
But when I was vegetarian is when I would do that.
It was a salad. Yeah, she would get protein salad or protein salad that it would just be, yeah.
I mean,
it was a lettuce
wrap. Honestly, it was really bad. But Nassim did it for so fucking long. And that is the biggest meat lover that I know. So that's how I know that he really does love me because he really did the damn thing.
I wouldn't have done it for you. I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay.
So we were getting into these huge arguments. And every time at the end of the argument, I'd be like, listen, I'm going to just move it out. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I was trying to get to escape, but like, I felt like I had already committed. Like, I committed, I moved down here, I uprooted my life. Like, you know, I'm trusting this positive vibe to somehow mend me. And that wasn't the case. So that was on me. So I tell Melissa I don't want to live there. Long story short, Melissa convinces me to get a townhome with her. Not to buy, but to rent. Because her neighborhood had a townhome that we could live in. Cool. I'm like, fuck it. I'm tired of looking for this spot. Maybe more space will allot us a better relationship. Whatever. I mean, it was just a lot. So we get the townhome. The movers are moving my stuff into the townhome. And I'm furnishing it. I'm going to the furniture store and I'm furnishing it. Then she's giving me a date. She's like, oh, you need to have it furnished by this date because we're having a housewarming party.
What?
And I'm like, first off, I don't even know nobody down here. Secondly, okay, come with me to the store and pay for these couches. All right. It's still my home. So I'm not going to sit on the floor or sit on a futon or whatever. Like, I have to get the stuff that I want. So I'm getting the stuff that needs to be in a house, like, you know, lights and so on and so forth. And she plans this party. I don't know anybody. So this party starts, people showing up. I think I've only met one of her friends once or twice. It's a group of her friends. Y'all, she gets down on one knee and she proposes. In December of 2018, in front of a group of strangers that I do not know, in a state that I am not from, in a house that I do not own.
That last sentence cracked me up.
In a house that I do not own.
Is a fucking nightmare. First of all, being proposed to when you don't want to be proposed to, a nightmare.
Well, that's already. We've talked about like surprise proposals and like it being ruined, quote unquote. I would like to be given a heads up that it's like happening, or at least have the conversation that that's where it's going. But I would still like to be surprised.
Right, yes.
But I need to know at least that like they're thinking about it at some point and that's where it's going. Because like if you proposed in public and you were going to say no, oh my God, I think that would be more traumatizing for me than it would for the person asking.
Yeah.
Because I would say yes, because then I would panic and just then have to say
no
later.
Right, right. And at this time, Melvin was Melvin. Did I say Marvin?
You getting a name wrong? Weird.
This is gonna be a tough episode. But at this time, they were presenting and operating as a lesbian woman.
Yes.
And I do know that lesbian couples have that stereotype of, you know,
get
on your first date, bring your U-Haul.
Yeah,
we're gonna move in together.
Yeah.
But it really seems like Brittany did not know, like, even for lesbians, that was too quick. Like, that was too much. Like, and they were, like, not even settled into their home.
Well, and usually that's because, like, they're in the honeymoon stage and it's like, everything's really fun and exciting. This sounds like it was not fun and exciting ever.
At any point. Which is so weird because Brittany mentions the positivity thing and then Melissa was so positive. I'm like,
it doesn't sound like,
I didn't get that
on Twitter,
from her story.
She was, I guess. Maybe not in
Maybe,
real life.
Yeah.
Melissa proposes. Yes, Melissa is still married. But I'll say this. The paperwork for her divorce had been filed at this point. And I know that because I helped file it, because she's a self-taught dyslexic, or so she claims.
I'm so dead. When she said she was a self-taught dyslexic,
I was like, what
that,
does that
shit
mean?
Fucking, that, that is something I would say and then be like, what the fuck did I even mean by that? Anyway, the clarification says self-taught reader.
Yeah, which is very impressive.
Oftentimes needs help with paperwork. So she proposes. And I just want to say we should normalize saying no in situations where we aren't sure. Because at this moment, I'm not sure. I'm like, I don't know if I want to marry her. But at this point, I'm in front of a group of strangers in a place, in a state that I'm not from. And I just felt like I had to say yes. Like,
this is her. On December 7th, 2019, does that say?
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, I said yes. Girl, you didn't have a choice.
Her body language does not look like she's thrilled.
Yeah.
She's like,
is that? Oh my God. Yeah, that's during the proposal.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize
like
that
she's
that
holding
was
her hand.
Holding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see any, you know, hand over the mouth, shock, crying type of, you know, good vibes. It's just like,
she's
kind of
leaning away almost.
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I'm like, okay, I can always dial this back. I can always tell her later that I don't want to be engaged, right? I can't even explain some of the shit that I did, but, you know, here we are. Days move on. I start calling and telling people, because mind you, she hadn't contacted anybody from my side to say that she was proposing. So I called everybody that I, you know, felt close with and was like, hey, like, I'm engaged. Everybody was like, nope. Nope. So basically, like, I'm going back and I'm telling Melissa, like, yeah, like, everybody, you know, whatever. She's like, oh, you got to cut them off. They just don't like you. Your parents are mad that you're gay. Like, just telling me all this stuff. And, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, well, maybe she's right. Like, all these people are saying no and, you know, whatever. So I'm, like, cutting people off.
Oh, no.
And the more people I cut off, the better Melissa is to me. I'll cut somebody off and she'll be like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy that you did that. And, you know, you're such a strong person.
Have you ever been in a relationship, not that they try to isolate you, because obviously that's a red flag, but that they do it in, like, a sneaky way where it's, like, they start making you second guess, like, your friends, like, your honest friends that are actually being really real with you. They'll be like, oh, like, she's, like, a horrible person. I don't know. Like, they start making you second guess those people.
Or they, like, nitpick things about those people's lives where it's, like, if you have, like, a friend that's, like, a partier, it's, like, well, they're a bad influence.
Yeah.
And they, like, find different ways why it's, like, that's why you shouldn't hang out with them. Then they get, like, an actual reason if the friend is, like, shit-talking them or being, like, hey, maybe you should, like, slow down. But... That's why I feel like you don't, like, don't go to your fiance and say, my friend thinks I shouldn't marry you.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Maybe don't reveal your sources.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Always keep that close to the belt.
Yeah.
Is it close to the belt?
I think so. Don't show your hand.
Keep it close.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
All right.
Okay, like, I'm losing people, but I'm gaining strength in this shitty relationship. Previously, when we had discussed getting engaged and getting married and stuff like that, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, down the road, you know, a year, or I'm not really sure, but she had said something to the effects of, like, if I get you a ring, you know, I'm hoping you could get me a truck.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm sorry.
This is not a barter situation.
Listen, I'll give you this, you give me that. I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Also, I feel like something tells me that the truck is going to be more expensive than the ring.
I'm so dead. No, literally. And also, she didn't even ask for a proposal or a ring.
No, nor did she want it. Yeah.
No, she's like, now that I've given you this,
come on,
co-sign a truck for me.
Didn't have one. She had like a sedan. So in my head, I'm like, okay, like a couple years from now, like, or whatever, like, that's cool. I'll do that. So she proposed on December 6th, I think. And she was already looking for the truck.
What do you mean?
Here's the truck. It's a Dodge Ram.
This is blowing my mind.
So that's December 20th. I know, it's fucking insane. So this is December 26th.
20 days later.
Yeah. It was literally 20 days. Bro, I can understand getting married quick. Hello, I did it. Co-signing a car is way more serious than getting married. I swear it is.
Was it co-signing? I thought it was buying the car.
She says it in a second. She's like, I signed for the truck, which means she's financially responsible for the truck, which means
she'll get fucked over.
Either she's making the payments or she has to if she gets fucked over.
Oh, I thought it was that she had to buy the car.
Like outright cash?
Well, not necessarily, but it was like 100% her paying for it. Co-signing is a little different, where it's like my mom could co-sign for like my apartment, and it's just if I
and
don't
then
pay.
You're paying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, like she was dead ass for real. Like if she proposed, like this is her expectation. So in my head, I'm like, okay, like I got something. You know, it's like I'm sort of just lost in the sauce right now, and I'm like, okay, like I got something.
What
so
sauce?
I should, you know, in turn follow through for what I said. So yeah.
Yeah, she says a lot of things really casually. I'm like, girl, no.
Lost in the sauce. You're not enjoying any of it.
Yeah, like literally there is at no point any time that she describes it as like having a really great time in this relationship. I'm sure there were happy moments that led her to continue.
I sure hope so.
But like, it sounds miserable. Yeah, this is pretty bad.
End up signing for her trip. Right after that, like, I haven't even got my ring resized or anything.
Didn't she ask her early on what her ring size was?
I missed that part. Did she?
First thing.
Yeah. Oh, she probably is not attentive at all and maybe got it wrong.
Well, that's like, you had a ring size, but you now need to get your ring resized?
And there's some rings that can't be resized because of the, like, model of them. And, like, to do it is like, it looks weird. Ugh, that's just so stupid. Don't get the fucking ring size
Well,
wrong.
Just, it makes me think like she already had the ring from some, like.
Oh my God. From her marriages, her two marriages, probably.
You know, let's start getting ready to have a baby. And what? I'm like.
I knew you were going to be perplexed by that.
For multiple reasons. Like, what's the plan for that? A donor? Who's having it? Is she?
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting because people, I mean, I also have this concept of like gay relationships, you know, when you decide to bring a child in, it's so intentional. So it gives you so much time to plan and just like really make sure that that's what you want. And with straight couples, a lot of times, you know, you get an oopsie. It's an accident because that's just how it could happen. So this is kind of blowing my mind because it's like she's rushing it and they're a gay couple. I'm like, so now you got to go to the fertility clinic? This is crazy.
I'm going to need a truck. I'm going to need a baby. I'm going to need some furniture.
Anything else, ma'am? Can I get you anything
else? Insane.
It's really, really fucking blowing my mind. And the fact that she says it so like nonchalant, I'm like,
yeah, I'm glad she's seen the light since, I guess, like, oh my God, what do you mean?
I know.
And like in my head, of course, like I want kids, but I wasn't expecting anything to be this fast. And I blame myself because I'm like, how did I just continuously see all of this in my face and just like allowed it? So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not really ready for kids. And she's like, listen, like we're almost to our 30s. Like, you know, we want that fulfillment. And you say that, you know, like you have like issues with like your mental health and all that stuff. Like, you know, I feel like kids would just like really complete you.
Whoa,
that is opposite.
I'm like losing it.
Yeah. The shit that she was told and then subsequently believed is pretty shocking because there is nothing that is worse for your mental health than a child. They like literally
like that's not, oh, I know the fix, a new baby.
But like, it's so weird because like we're like presented that as a society, and that is really concerning because there's multiple layers to that. When you have a mental health issues and you're the one carrying the baby, the hormone situation is so fucking insane that the postpartum can be unbearable for many, many people, and during like everything it's just very difficult. But then you have the kids, then the kids weasel their way into every crevice of your psyche. And now you are chronically worried. Your biggest fear is this little person who is trying to die 20 times a day, dying. Like, it is literally the most mind-fucking experience. And yes, there are beautiful moments and it's amazing. It's awful too.
It seems like the fiance is operating under the like, oh, well, it'll give you something else to like care for and gives you purpose. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of other things come with that.
A lot
of it's not
others.
Just like you get this like newfound lease on life. It's like, no, now you have to take care of a small human.
Yeah, not to mention that mental health, and it's honestly something I considered too before having my children, and it's unfortunate. It's like, it's genetic. Like, I got my depression and anxiety because my dad's side of the family is like riddled with mental health issues. So it's like, yeah, you know, the chances that your child's going to experience the same mental health issues is pretty high. So there's a lot there. If you're somebody that like maybe thinks about wanting children, but you're not 100% sure, and you're like, oh, this will add so much to my life. It will, but it will also take away things from your life as well as you know it right now. In my opinion, I love being a mom. It's the best thing I've ever done. It is not for everyone. I've said it 1,000 times on the show. It's insane that she got convinced to do this. Like, yes, yeah. You're going to find out they the did reason. Have a child together. And, you know, it's beautiful that life, you know, is made. But yikes, you know, it's just very intense.
Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Nuuly.
Lately, I've been traveling a lot, and although that's very exciting, I get a lot of pressure to want to like curate a ton of new outfits depending on where I'm going, and that could get really, really expensive. So I was really excited to hear that a service like Nuuly exists.
And if you haven't heard of Nuuly, it's a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles. You have access to thousands of styles from hundreds of brands. They have everything from Reformation, Free People. They have tons of options, and they also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as tall, petite, and maternity.
Yeah, and the maternity thing makes so much sense to rent your clothes because you're not going to use those clothes forever, as we all know. And I just had to give away my maternity clothes when I was done. So you spend all this money investing in things, whether it's because you're going on a trip or because you're pregnant, whatever. And then you just either give them away or try to sell them on Facebook Marketplace or something. And it's usually a hassle.
Yeah, no, I think it's perfect for stuff like birthdays or like some kind of special event, especially formal ones where it's like, I don't need to buy like a $300 dress for something that I'm probably not ever going to wear again. You can just rent it. Makes it so much easier.
Yeah. And it's amazing because they're super flexible. There are no fees involved with Nuuly. So no late fees, damage fees. Like if you break a button or something, spill something on your clothes, which I do a lot. There are no fees to pause or cancel. Like if you just want to take a break from it, that's totally fine. So it's really nice.
As I said, it's $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, if you sign up, you can get $28 off your first month when you use the code DWKT.
All you have to do is go to Nuuly.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DWKT and sign up to get $28 off your first month.
That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's.com, and use the code DWKT.
And thank you so much to Nuuly for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Honestly, I got to a point where I was like, yeah, you know, like, okay, like, I get that. At this point, we're going to the fertility clinic, and I'm using my insurance for the fertility clinic. I'm paying the deductible. I purchased the sperm.
She has insurance.
I furnished the house. I'm spending a lot of money, and, like, I'm also signed for her to get a truck. So at this point, like, I'm hemorrhaging money, but I'm not really realizing on the back end, like, how much money I'm actually spending. And in regards to money, like, it was no secret that I had, like, a really good corporate job. It was no secret that, like, my parents, you know, were well off.
So, you know, like the concept of pulling out my card, it just wasn't like foreign to me because I feel like it should be even. But like the hesitation of her doing it made me lead to have to do it. So we end up having 3 failures at the fertility clinic. And at that point, we decided to take a break. And I found out that I needed to have a surgery to remove a blockage in order to get pregnant. COVID happens. So at this point, everything shut down, shelter in place.
Isn't that Risa Tisa? Did she also experience that in 2020? Or did she her story go viral in 2020?
No, that's what I was saying. It was that they met during COVID and that's why it went so fast because they moved in together because it was quarantine.
Oh my God. So her and Risa Tisa had a really bad 2020.
They should hang out and chat.
They should.
At this point, I feel trapped because we are arguing. We're not getting along. We don't have nothing in common. And I'm telling her every other day, like, I want to call this engagement off. But you call your engagement off and you go in the next room and you have no choice but to stay there. And for me, I'm like, damn, like, I don't even know how to leave right now. And then I got to admit to everybody that I cut off, like, that I'm a fuck up.
That is what I think keeps so many people in relationships that are not serving them in any way. Like, if they've tried to, like, tell their family, no, he's great. Or no, don't worry about this. Or like whatever. They're trying to like prove something and that's why they stay.
They don't want to admit that everyone else was right and they were wrong.
Yeah, also, which I get.
But I would assume that that's probably one of the biggest driving factors here is because she just said like she was well off. Her parents had money. Like it's not like she couldn't financially afford to leave.
Yeah, I think it was just more of a pride thing or not wanting to have to make the phone call. Because at this point, I don't think she was talking to anybody in her life. Not her parents, no family, which again, to plan a child within that is so heartbreaking because it's like you need your family or just a village in general, just somebody who cares about you.
And it's sad because I'm sure that the people that she did cut off, like if she went back to them and explained it, like I'm sure
they would have understood.
Forgive her. Yeah.
At this point, like I'm going to her and I'm like, listen, like we don't have nothing in common. And she's telling me like, listen, this is like 90 Day Fiance. Like we're getting to know each other, like real love.
What? No, not like that. And first of all, have you ever watched 90 Day Fiance?
It doesn't go well, does it?
No.
She was making me feel like I was absolutely the worst person because I wasn't like loving her and she's just acting like she's loving me and I don't know how to accept it. So throughout that time, like just a lot of time and space, we ended up having like an explicit conversation and we were looking through websites for some specific stuff and she ends up sending me a website that was like for trans individuals. So I, you know, like I feel like sometimes when people want to say something to you, like they'll send you like a little mixed message and expect for you to say something. So I gave it some time and I ended up going to her and I was like, hey, you know, obviously before we decide to proceed with having a baby, like you sent me this site and like I just want to check in with you and see like is this something that you like maybe haven't told me, like maybe you're open, like wanting to transition, because for me, like if you're wanting to transition, like this is something you do before you have a child so you can focus on you becoming a comfortable version of yourself before bringing a child into it. Like
yes, and you guys also have a laundry list of things you need to do before you have a child that you have not done, but period. I do agree with her.
This is definitely on the list for sure. Yeah. And good that she is recognizing that because I feel like she's not recognizing a lot of other things she needed to do.
That would be something that I would prefer. She's like, nope, would never do that. Never had the urge. Never felt like I, you know, would want to be a man. Like it's just, I'm a woman. I'm a lesbian. Like that just is what it is. It was very like, I'm telling you what it is and we don't need to talk about it anymore. Bet. I asked the question and then I was like, cool, we moving on. So I end up getting pregnant in July 2020. Around that January time frame, Melissa suggested that we get married. It's still kind of COVID, and obviously, like, I don't have any friends, and I also don't have any family, so it's not like I'm gonna plan any type of anything. I also didn't have a baby shower or anything like that. And so, okay, justice of the peace in the courthouse, in a mask, and I'm, you know, at this point, six months pregnant. And it was just, like, really important that we got married. And then, like, she was really forcing, like, changing my last name. And, like, honestly, I feel pretty strongly. I want to keep my last name. Never been interested in that. But it was just, like, really, really trying. It, now, looking back, it's like, you was just trying to get stuff done before I had the baby. So I have the baby in May of 2021. In the beginning, everything was pretty good. Like, when she was at home, like, she was helpful. But then COVID lifted, and it was time for her to go back into work. And luckily for me, like, my job was still allowing me to work from home. And at this point, I have really bad postpartum. I don't feel comfortable taking my son into a daycare. So I'm working from home, and I'm taking care of him. What makes it even harder was the fact that I had to work. And I'm not talking like I'm sitting on a computer or something. Like, I have a corporate job where I'm expected to be on calls. I'm expected to do a lot of activity. And I'm like dealing with my baby and he's like colicky and I'm trying to understand his sleeping patterns. Like it was very hard. And I'm like struggling. Like I don't have a village. I'm doing this by myself. And it's just like really, really tough to mention that I also was dealing with
the drastic outfit change.
Yeah. So there's a lot of parts to this. And so I took out the like beginning parts because she summarized it. Like every single
no,
one.
No, I did that with Kendra too.
Melissa knew this and I was very open about like where I was with everything. And at some point she was like, you know, what would it look like for you to just not work and just take care of the baby since you don't, you know, want to take him to daycare and so on and so forth. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't imagine quitting a job without having another. And, you know, she was like, well, I could take care of the household. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Like, you know, we're together. So I'm going to make sure that that everything's taken care of. So she's working and I'm a stay-at-home mom at this point. And she's piecemealing me money into the household. There was a point where, like I said, I don't like to ask for things, but it's getting to a point where it's like, hey, like, I don't know if you noticed, but we need groceries. And, you know, it's just like a lot of hesitation. So I'm still kind of paying for things using what I have. And at some point I'm like, fuck, I think we're struggling. Like, I'm not really sure, but I'm pretty sure we're struggling, because I feel like there's like not any money being poured into the household outside of like the direct bills.
That's where I just can't relate. Cause I am so inquisitive that I would be like, hello, what are we doing? Like, what's happening? I just can't imagine a world where I'm just like, I think we're struggling. I would know.
Well, and if she was the one that was making the money and paying for everything before, why would suddenly it flip and now Melissa can afford everything when they were like relying on her high paying corporate job?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they do for a living. It seems like Melissa might have switched jobs. You know, something might have switched there that they were able to afford more. But like, I just...
Legion did that too.
Yeah. Switch jobs. They're just like hanging out in a parking lot somewhere. It's like, literally, it makes no sense how people don't ask more questions. We wouldn't be here if they asked more questions. Like, wouldn't you be like almost feral asking like, okay, like we need groceries. Like, we need this. Like, what are you talking about?
No, I'd be losing it. Yeah.
I'd be losing it.
So I decide that it's time for me to start applying again. So at this point, Melissa decides that she wants to get into a more corporate role as well. So we had a discussion about like places that we would be willing to move to when we landed on Austin, just based off of like the area and like the companies that are here. So she ends up getting the corporate job that she wanted in Austin, and I end up getting and accepting an offer to a corporate job in Austin as well. So it's time to move, and at this point both jobs have said that they were not going to give relocation until we started work in Austin. So we had to front the cost of relocation. So I asked Melissa what she got on the move money wise and she was like, nothing. I was like, you don't have anything? She was like, nope, nothing. So I have to be in office in Austin in 2 weeks. I end up deciding to get a loan to front the cost of the move, and then I'd pay the loan off my sign-on bonus and my relocation when I got here. Her company offered a week in Austin to be able to find a place to live and, you know, to find childcare and all of that stuff. So we head down to Austin for a week to be able to find a place. One of the first few places that we saw, we liked. So I was like, cool, let's put in an application. Like, this is a spot that I like. So we're waiting on that application to go through, and that whole entire week, she's actually working in office at her job, and I am going around and trying to find a daycare for my son. We're in the car headed to the school that I thought would be the one, and I get a call from the real estate agent, and she was like, the application's not being accepted. It's not being accepted. Like, somebody's score is too low. So I actually have like a full panic attack, like had Melissa pull over type shit. Like, I was infuriated from the inside, because now you didn't have the money for the move. I can't get into a spot in Austin. This is crazy. So that night I started applying to places by myself, and I'm telling Melissa, like, listen, I'm getting approved for spots. I'll just get on the lease. It'll be cool. Nah, she wasn't having that. No, what? We both need to be on the lease. We both need to be on the lease. We need to find a spot.
Well, then get your credit up, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that sounds like a you problem, Melissa. Yeah. I feel like her credit score must be pretty low. If Brittany's credit score is fine, which I'm sure it is, like if it's good, then it feels like if one of them was low, but like they could prove income and stuff still and everything was good,
that's
like,
so true.
It would have been fine. So yeah, it must be like real bad.
But I'm also thinking, like, Brittany, if she had, let's say, like an almost 800 credit score, great history, everything is wonderful, wouldn't she even get approved like by herself almost? Like, why do they care if the other person's credit is really bad? Like,
she did also, though, since she just took out a loan to do the move.
That could have affected it too. Yeah.
I'm like, no, like, it's just impossible. She's like, oh, there was a spot that's like more expensive in a different area, and like, maybe we could talk to the guy and he'd be like willing. Everything is telling me not to put her on the lease. Everything. And I'm like, all right, man, whatever. I end up calling the guy. We visit the spot and he was willing, but I would need to put down a $4,000 deposit. And I want to make it clear that I had to put down a $4,000 deposit. At this point, on the back end, I started contacting the people that I cut off. I started contacting my friends. I started contacting my family. Like, I needed my village, because at this point, I realized that this was no longer something that I could, like, continue to maintain. Not by myself, at least. Like, I needed people. I needed people. So it's time to move. Officially, we're packing things up. It's a lot to pack up, especially with a kid. And it was the day before the moving truck came, and she was like, listen, you know, I'll take the baby and a dog, and I'll go ahead and go down to Austin, and you could just be here with the movers in the morning or whatever. Anybody that's ever moved knows that, like, when the movers start picking stuff up, like, there is so much that has to be packed. So I'm busting my ass that night. I'm packing basically by myself because she already left. That morning I'm packing up with the movers because there's so much stuff that hadn't been packed yet. I'm patching up holes on the wall. I am doing everything to make sure that we don't have to end up paying anything to the renters that we were renting from. So I'm getting everything situated. So the movers got the stuff. I'm headed to Austin. Melissa calls me and we get to a big argument, because at this point, like, I'm just stressed and tired and I'm just like going off. I told Melissa, man, you might as well not even unpack your stuff. Like, I don't even want you there when I get there.
And then it says on screen, I did in fact let her stay. Oh, God.
And, like, I was just done. Like, there was nothing, like, this was the moment that I realized that I could no longer be in a marriage with this person. This is awful. So I'm crying on the way to Austin. Like, I'm crying because I'm just overwhelmed. I'm stressed. And I'm calling my friends and I'm just, like, telling them, I'm like, man, like, I have to apologize. Like, I fucked up. Like, whatever. So now we're in Austin. We're both working. The baby is in school. And we're just not doing good. At this point, I have...
Have you ever been doing good?
I know. Again, like, she'll say something like that. I'm like, I think it's been bad from the beginning, but I don't know.
Maybe you're leaving out any of the positive parts, but it doesn't sound like there were any.
Yeah.
So we moved in December of 2022. And at this point, it's like January, February. She ends up calling me one day and she's like, you know, I think I want to defeminize. At this point, she was like getting into the gym and was like trying to be like really bulky. So she was like, I think I'm going to defeminize. And that was my first time ever hearing of something. So she said she already made an appointment. And then she calls me after the appointment and she's like, yeah. So like, these are the changes, like voice changes, all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, like, are you transitioning? And she was like, no, like, I'm not going to be a he, him. And I'm like, okay, well, like, are you going to go by they? And she was like, no, like, I'm a she, her. I just want to have like a better body.
I'm a she, her.
You know, I want to just look better in the gym, so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, like, I can't stop anybody from doing nothing like that. Like I said, mentally, I'm already done with this. One of these weekends, she ends up deciding to go to Dallas. And this person has like a lot of facial tattoos already. And that was like something we had like specific places agreed upon. And they had asked me like before, like, oh, like, how would you feel about me getting more tattoos on my face? And I was like, don't do that. Like, you're already pushing it, like, don't do that. She gets back from Dallas, brand new ugly ass tattoo on her fucking face. Like, it was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And I was like, why would you do that? I like went off on her. I was like, you don't care about me, you don't care about your son, like, you look stupid. And at this point, like, I want a divorce. I don't want to be with you. And you can talk to other people, I can talk to other people.
I'm dying. The face tattoo was the deal breaker.
Well, you know, when you're just, I mean, you're just there and you just needed one more thing, she walks in with that ugly motherfucker on her face.
Yeah,
that's
you
it.
Can't hold it back you're anymore done. Yeah,
I have to be able to afford the place that we're living in. It's more expensive. So I'm like, listen, you can sleep in this room, I'll sleep in this room, we can watch the baby. And honestly, like, you could talk to who you want to talk to, let's not be disrespectful, and vice versa. Like, I don't want to participate in this anymore. So things started getting really interesting.
And then it says receipts
oh my
are coming.
God.
Yeah.
So around May 2023, I met my, who is my current girlfriend, Ashley. And it was just a whirlwind, love at first sight, no red flags, soft life. It's continued to be great. Anyways, so I had not at this point given any context to like my dating life. So I get home from this date with Ashley. I get home pretty late and Melissa had said something about it, but in my head I'm like, get out of my business, really. Then the next day I happen to have a hickey and they asked me about it. Not even gonna lie to you, I lied about it. I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's from. But
I don't know
that
what it
next
is.
Morning, I was in the baby's room. He's fussy. I get a message from Melissa saying, hey, like, when are you coming out of the baby's room? And I was like, oh, you know, I'll probably be out soon so I can cook breakfast, you know, but I'm still trying to get him settled. And she was like, oh, it's fine. Like, I'll cook breakfast, you know. Come out of the room about 6 or 7 minutes later, and she is going through my watch.
Going through your watch?
Like her Apple watch, so you could see texts, probably.
I'm so dead. Not Melissa's contact being ill. It says, so they were having some irrelevant conversation, but at the bottom, you could see Melissa say, I knew it was a hickey. So I guess that's what they found on her watch.
She is cussing. She's calling me names. You a whore. You this, you that. You know, like going off. And so she's like storms out, got my watch with her, and she's just like irate. Prior to this, we had never gone through each other's things. Besides the point, she knew that I was dating.
You know,
so this reaction to me was just like out of control.
It said, but it wasn't cheating because we weren't together. Screenshot and save this. And then she says, it's not illegal in Texas, even if I did. And then she said, okay, Brittany, that it only matters in alimony. And she said, you don't have to fight it. I get it. And then she said, nah, you want to be smart, so I'm going to educate you.
I like that.
I remember.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See lowes.com/rebates for details. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
her calling Ashley and being like, yo, like, this just happened, and like, I'm shook, like, I don't know what to do. They were continuously calling my phone. Like, they would call and I would answer, and they would like be screaming in my ear, like, because not only are they going through my messages with Ashley, they're going through my messages with my family, with my friends, like, they're going through all of my messages.
That's my personal nightmare. If anybody goes through my phone, I just feel like I would be exposed immediately.
But also, especially when you've been like having to reconnect with a bunch of people that you had cut off previously because of this person, like all of the conversations are about them.
Yeah, and they're absolutely not going to be nice.
A hotel room for a couple of days, and yeah, like Ashley joined me, like she was just a you know, place of comfort. And also, like, not to mention, she was going through a divorce as well, so there was just a lot of things that were similar. So the week goes on, and I start getting these like crazy text messages from Melissa, like saying like, I need your ring. I need you to give me your ring. Like, I need to sell your ring. I need your ring. Like, it was continuous. It was constant. And in my head, I'm just like, what do you need in the ring for? Like, what's going on? And she was like, oh, I bought you a BMW, so I need to get it back on the lot. And I already took it off the lot.
What? When did they buy you a BMW? I thought you bought the truck.
I thought you bought them the truck. Yeah.
It says, I need the ring to pay the shit to show them. That's not a problem. And I can do that. To pay the shit to show them. To pay the shit to show them.
I guess to get.
I don't know.
I already took it off the lot. So I need the ring. I need the money. So she's just going off. And I'm just like, what the F are you talking about? Like, you ain't buying no damn car. So another week goes by. And then at this point, like, I'm back home, but not very often. It's sort of like work, get my son, separate myself. Like, we're kind of just like missing each other on purpose. Melissa ends up asking me, like, can I watch, you know, the baby for the duration of the week? Because they was going to go get some sticky socks.
They were going to go get some sticky socks? Oh, is that like a grippy sock reference to like a mental hospital?
I'll Google it.
Because I know people say like, you need a grippy socks vacation.
Yeah, I know. But
something.
Sticky socks, I've never
heard of sticky socks. I've heard grippy socks.
When you search it, it comes up and it says sticky socks Pilates for bar.
Oh, I love those. Have a bunch. Oh, my favorite instructor, Dina, left Club Pilates. And needless to say, I immediately canceled my subscription. Thank you.
Shut up.
I did. I'm going to a different place. In Dina, we trust. All the other instructors, God bless, but they were really bad. Anyway, I'll keep playing while you Google.
And you get those sticky socks. You are not allowed to have your phone. But for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be the mental hospital for sure.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me the whole entire time to the point where I was like, where are you? Because I ain't never heard of no facility that allows this. Like, you're doing a lot. Like, how are you getting whatever help that you need and continuing to text me and asking me all these questions about,
phone.
Oh, is
That's
our whole
bullshit.
Life is a lie and blah,
very
blah, blah,
Elizabeth
blah, blah.
Like,
go leave me alone. Go do what you need to do to get through what you need to get through. Like, leave me alone. Me and Ashley continue to date. And pretty much, like, the environment at home was just hostile. Like, they were constantly making comments, like, just saying things. Like, it was just truly uncomfortable. And I had asked them 100 times, like, hey, you can move out. Like, I'll keep this lease. Like, you could go do whatever you want to do or vice versa. But, like, this is just not working for me. So now we're in July 2023, and I go into the courthouse and file for divorce. I file without a lawyer. I just file your regular paper. I filed to do no financials, and I filed to have the custody schedule that me and her had discussed and agreed upon. Funny enough, I wasn't asking for child support or anything, like just to split school and that is it. Y'all, this girl goes and gets a lawyer. So I get a response to the very easy divorce that I filed, and I was like, why would you get a lawyer? Like, there's nothing to fight about. And she was like, oh, well, you didn't mark out the child support line. And I'm like, you don't have to. Like, in the state of Texas, like, you get your custody, I get my custody, like, it's even. So why would I mark out a state form, like, to please you? Like, what are you talking about?
So at this point, I'm on my search for a lawyer. Now, I want to pause the story for a second, and I want to add some information, and I need you to pay attention. Remember, I told you earlier in the video that my girlfriend Ashley at the time was also going through a divorce. Ashley's ex-wife Caroline filed for divorce in May, and in July, Caroline finds out that me and Ashley are dating. Now, if you think one ex is bad, imagine two.
I'm so dead. Oh.
not the diagram. I
the
love her.
Stick figures. That is literally exactly how I draw stick figures. You better work, queen.
You see me, and here is Ashley. We are girlfriends. Ashley is divorcing Caroline. Caroline has a sister named Kathy. I am divorcing Melissa.
I'm dead.
In July of 2023, Caroline and Kathy contact Melissa.
No.
They contact each other to swap information about the two of us.
No.
To basically leverage their divorces and know more information. Now, I just want you guys to know, at this point, me in July 2023, me and Ashley do not know that Caroline, Kathy, and Melissa are communicating. We have no idea.
We found
this out later. And I'm going to tell you how we found it out, but that's probably going to be in like part 6. But at this point, it's August 2023. My lawyer sends documentation to Melissa, letting her know that she had 30 days to leave the house. Because within this time frame between basically July and August, it was just like absolutely horrendous. The household was just unbearable, and it just was no longer a good environment for my child. At this point, she's getting ready to move out. I offered to her a bedroom set. I offered a bedroom set for our son. I offered, you know, a lot of stuff because I'm like, cool, you're clearly like starting over a little bit and I have everything. So if you need some stuff, like I don't mind, you know, donate it. So she declines. Oh, I'm getting all new stuff. I don't need your stuff. Okay. Next thing you know, she starts selling everything out of the house. Anything that she bought or any gift she's ever given me, she sold. I had a couch in the garage because I bought a new couch when I got to Austin. That was the couch that I bought in the townhome. She's selling that in the front yard. Didn't even know. Got home one day, couch getting loaded up.
That would infuriate me. I would lose my mind. First of all,
you
selling
don't get
gifts,
to take back gifts.
Tacky. Yeah, that is literally not okay. Once you give someone a gift, it is theirs. I hate when people do that.
Agreed.
At this point, I think things are going to like improve because she always talks so highly about being like these great, amazing co-parents. I mean, in my head, I'm like, maybe she's a shitty person, but I do think she's a good parent. That's what I thought. And that does change. Ugh. The first thing that happens is we're in litigation and we're asking for all this documentation from her and her lawyer. And like, I'm talking 3, 6, 8 weeks stuff. And they're just not answering. And she's also not helping.
Yeah, I was
gonna
say,
hey, can you contact your lawyer? Let's get this done. Let's get this signed. Let's be divorced. You know, let's have everything squared away. Like, I'm not trying to drag this out. This costs money. And me and you both know that she likes to waste my money. So honestly, looking back, is it that shocking? Not really. Anywho, around the October, November timeframe, I started getting these like messages from her saying, you know, I'm just having a really tough time and like maybe you and your partner can just keep him. Or, hey, would you guys be willing to move to California if I got a job? Like she was playing, it's like, oh, I'm really cool with the fact that you and Ashley are dating and I want us to all be this like big happy family.
Did she say you guys can just keep him?
I think that means like just have him while I'm doing stuff. I know because like my friends will be like, well, no, I don't know if I've heard my friends say things like that, but like, it'll be like, oh, their father could have them for the weekend type of thing. Like, I think it's just like a...
Yeah, but it sounded more indefinite than that.
I don't... Maybe. I mean, it seems like they were struggling and maybe that's why they were asking.
Okay.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our next sponsor, and that's Function Health.
We chose Function because it is the only health platform that gives you access to the kind of data that most people never get to see and the insights to actually take action.
Yeah, inside of Function, you could test for over 160 biomarkers from heart and hormones to toxins, inflammation, and stress. And then you could access all of that on one platform that is written in terms that are easy for you to understand your results. You're not going to see that and be like, wait, what? Do I have something? I'm not sure. Everything's laid out for you so that you can take all of that information and seek the appropriate care.
Yeah, and especially for people with a lot of chronic issues and a lot of symptoms that feel unrelated and you're not really even sure where to start, it's perfect because it's basically just like a full body scan to help you figure out not just the symptoms and how you can treat those, but the underlying cause and figure out what doctor you need to go to. I'm excited because I have mine booked for next month and I'm getting everything they offer.
Yeah, I know many people in my life that are just struggling with random health issues where they don't even know where to start. So if that's you, you guys can learn more or join using our link, www.functionhealth.com/DWKT.
That's functionhealth.com/DWKT. And thank you so much to Function Health for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
Early December, she started sending messages because at this point we're, my lawyer has finally let her know like, hey, there's a lot of money that Brittany is owed. And I think Melissa thought that she was going to be able to get something from me, but like that wasn't the case. So she came to me and she was like, if you do this to me, like if you go after this, then I'm not going to have anything and I'm going to really be struggling. So if you could just like get off of it, because if not, like I'm going to have to let you keep our son for this duration of time and like I'll come back for him. Now, that is not the way it works with kids. You don't just get to go away and come back when it's convenient for you. Being a parent is doing that shit through the good times and the bad, not just when it's convenient. But me being stupid, I'm like, cool, whatever. Whatever gets us done, if getting them little coins from you is going to cause you all this, whatever, like, I don't really care, if we're being honest. Sign the papers, leave me alone. You know what time it is, my interactive ward. At this point, now, in mid-December, I find out that Melissa is dating a girl named Taurus.
Okay. Her name?
I thought that she was just identifying her by her astrological sign. I've never heard someone named Taurus, but interesting.
Maybe that's a nickname because she's a Taurus. I don't know. I hope so. That's a crazy name.
They were in the tattoo shop and Melissa was getting Taurus's name and Taurus was getting Melissa's
always
name.
Always a good idea.
Hmm. Always.
Sounds familiar. Then there was a particular video where Taurus was calling Melissa her credit card. Now, mind you, me and Melissa just had this conversation about how she was like struggling so much and needed all of this help and for me to back off and all this stuff, right? So it's like, okay,
I see now that that was, you know, you just trying to play me per usual. So I send Melissa a message and I'm like, listen, bro, like you clearly ain't got no money issues. You clearly got everything going right. So sign the papers. You got a girlfriend and sign the papers. Like, why are you still trying to do this back and forth with me? Like, cause it's just not necessary. So January comes and I start noticing that my son was having like some transition issues. And then also that he was using mommy out of context. And like I said, I'm pretty good about noticing something and saying something. So I went to Melissa and I was like, hey, like, I know you have a girlfriend. I know my son is probably around her. So a couple of things. First off, can I meet her? Because I think a mom, everybody wants to meet the person that's around their child just so everybody's on the same page. I also asked, hey, like, what is our son calling her? And they proceeded to tell me that they call her a nickname. And I do want to say, prior to any of this, I continuously would ask Melissa if Taurus was living over there. She's like, nah, she's not living here. If I have any house changes, I'll let you know. And I'm like, okay. Now, mind you, we knew something was up, me and my girlfriend, because my son, normally, like, his nails won't be cut, his ears won't be clean, his hair would just be like, whatever. He comes to the house one day, bro. Hair braided to the back, ears squeaky clean, nails cut. I'm like, oops, somebody cooked in here. So I'm not mad at it. But once again, I go to them and say, hey, like, I think that it's beneficial for me to meet your partner. Now, mind you, she's met Ashley multiple times and not to mention also tried to fight her one time, but we won't get into that. Or maybe I will, but we'll see. Now, on the back end, I also noticed on like pickups and drop-offs or parent-teacher conferences that Melissa was starting to look very non-girl. Was starting to just like, the voice was deep. Like I noticed like some little chick scratch on their face and I was like, oh, okay. Like something going on. So I asked, hey, I don't want to be offensive, but like, are you transitioning? And they proceeded, they would always tell me no. I asked this question probably every other week because I knew, I'm not stupid. Like I see it. Like it's dead ass in my face. Like, why would you just lie blatantly like that? Not to mention would constantly be like, oh, our son accidentally called me daddy today. LOL, LOL, LOL. And I'm like, okay, well, corrected. And I would ask them again, like, are you changing your pronouns? Like, are you letting him call you that? Are you correcting him? So on and so forth, because it seems really odd because we don't have that problem over here. So early or like mid-February, Melissa comes to me and says, my pronouns are now he and him. So respect that, so on and so forth. So I'm like, okay, good for you. Are you going to change your name or what my son calls you? Because we had a specific name that he called her. Nope, everything's the same. I'll let you know if there's any changes. Don't worry about it. It's just he, him at this point. Okay. So I go pick up my son after spring break. So you're talking like 12 days later, maybe. And I pick him up and he says, bye, daddy. Like, because at this point, Melissa is still outside putting him in a car. So my son's like, bye, daddy. And I was like, no. Like I corrected him with the name that he had normally been called. Listen, I am in no way, shape, or form a judgmental individual, but I feel like if that's something that you're gonna do, you discuss it with the person that you're co-parenting with. It is a really odd situation to say that within 2 weeks, you've gone from a term that my son has known forever to daddy, like specifically daddy. It just felt odd to me, but maybe I'm tripping. I don't know. At this point, they still won't sign the papers. They're now he, him, still no name change. So they're Melissa to me. And around the just bunches of issues, at this point, I know Taurus lives there, so on and so forth. Won't let me meet her. Same old, same old. Around the May time frame, they finally tell me that their name is going to be Melvin. And then they also proceed to show me photos of their top surgery. So they were already getting their gender affirming surgeries, which interesting enough, the gender affirming surgery happened between the 12 days and my son calling them daddy. So very fast transition. Oh my transition, God.
Well, that just gives, maybe they weren't being honest with you when you were asking, but I don't know why. I don't know if like Melvin didn't feel comfortable doing that. You know what
but
I mean?
But it just feels like kind of an inevitable thing that like you're going to have to, you did t- tell her eventually. So like, yeah. Why?
But also she seemed like she was, I mean, I don't know. We weren't there. So we don't know how she was asking, if it seemed maybe like accusatory or like not in the safe space to, you know, reveal that.
Not but supportive. Like, again, yeah, we weren't there. We don't know what the conversations were like, but it seems like it wasn't coming from a place of, ew, are you transitioning? It was,
yeah,
like,
it was more like, no, is that
I
what's
just
happening?
Need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Which does make sense. And also I feel like some people might have problems with like her using she, her pronouns, or even us using she, her pronouns, because that's how she was referring to Melvin at that time. But I do actually wonder, like, I'm actually inquiring right now, how does that work when you're speaking about someone in the past tense that you had a relationship with, that was like a sexual, actual romantic relationship?
Well, it's interesting though, because Brittany hasn't been saying she's been saying they.
Sometimes, but in the beginning, I think...
In the beginning, but as soon as it started to shift a little bit, I feel like she started using they.
At this point, Melissa is now Melvin, he, him pronouns, and their girlfriend is Taurus. It's around the July 2024 timeframe, and they still won't sign the papers. They still keep dragging things out. And I keep asking God, like, bro, like, why won't you just let this hoe sign the papers?
I keep asking God why this hoe does not sign the papers. I love that.
Taurus, Melvin's girlfriend, ends up calling me.
Oh, God. She's got a lot of good little cliffhangers.
So at this point, I said call, but she DMs me on TikTok. Okay, so she DMs me and she goes, I just want to apologize because I was around your son and I should have done more to try and meet you. And, you know, every time I tried to meet you, like I even tried to Zoom call you, they would tell me that you were going to find me and beat me up and throw acid in my face and try and kill me and all this stuff. Like,
what? Oh. Melvin said that? Holy shit.
Melvin, you're fucking crazy.
That is really, really next level. I mean, I knew that they didn't want her speaking to Taurus because that would have happened. But why? Yeah.
Scaring Taurus. Melvin was scaring Taurus so that Taurus would never come to me. Because Melvin knows that I am Melvin's worst fear. I am the truth. I am willing to expose Melvin. So Melvin painted this picture for Taurus so that Taurus would stay away from me. But Taurus didn't, and she came to me after her and Melvin broke up, because when you start piecing all this shit together, you realize that Melvin is a fucking liar. Yeah. We continue to DM, and she tells me how, Taurus tells me how she seen my Twitter. So prior to these TikToks, I would subliminally tweet about my situation to just kind of give like a pre-warning to people, like, hey, be careful. And I had tweeted something about being the third wife. I tweeted something about this person scamming me. And Taurus told me that she actually saw those tweets and started doing her own research. And Melvin had never told Taurus that he had been married.
Oh, shit.
Three times!
I was gonna say, that's literally three lies.
Had been married, but had no idea about the other two wives that he was married to. At this point, we're talking back and forth, and she basically was like, oh, you know, I did want to really give you a warning. And the warning is that Melvin, Caroline, and Kathy have been stalking you for over a year.
Shut up.
She... with receipts, by the way. Taurus is not just telling me this stuff and not giving receipts. When I tell you she was getting down with the receipts, she was getting down with the receipts.
We like Taurus.
Kathy, Caroline, and Melvin were swapping pictures of our children. They were talking about our whereabouts, where we are, what our schedules are. Oh, how can we make this difficult? If we change this schedule, then Ashley and Brittany won't be able to do this at the same time. Like, they were doing this for over a year. And
why?
It made me realize that this duration of my super long divorce was not just purely based out of like this one person being stupid. This is a group of people.
I know that it sounds insane and it is, but dude, I feel like some people are just fucking crazy. Like some people are fucking crazy and just have time, and it's a really bad mix.
They'll find the time.
Yeah.
I realized in this conversation with Taurus that I don't know Melvin. And imagine being in a relationship with somebody and not knowing them, but imagine having a kid with somebody and not knowing who they are. Throughout this whole entire situation, that is the time frame that I was like, this is not a fucking game anymore. And these people are dangerous. They're dangerous people. I could go days for what Taurus told me, but I'm gonna stick to the script, right? After talking for a few days in TikTok, I think we were just building that trust. We exchanged numbers. And this is where the part of the story gets like really hard for me. Earlier in the story, I told you all that my son, like there were time frames where I noticed that he was having transitional issues. And I would oftentimes go to Melvin and say, hey, son's not sleeping good. Like, what's the routine over there? Are you having these issues, you know? Because like, I am sort of a hoverer as a mom, but I'm very specific about making sure that he's okay. And I asked, hey, does he have a bed? Yes, he has a bed. Does he have a room? Yes, he has a room. Does he have this? Yes, he has this. He has that. He has this, you know, making it seem like it's perfect over there. So I'm like, cool. I only need to just address what I have going on here. Taurus also lets me know that On the very first day that she ever met my son, Melvin made my son call her mommy. So from day one, my son never knew her name. She was mommy.
Oh, God. I would need to be held back with literal straps, handcuffs, something. I don't know. I would lose my fucking mind. It is one thing if someone has a step parent from a young age and they want to do that. But like, for instance, I don't call my stepdad dad. Or papi. Yeah. Like, I call him Joe because that's what I've always called him. And I look at him as a father figure. I do. But certain things are just like, that's not your mom. Like, at all. Yeah. Also, depending on how young the kid is, I can't even imagine doing that to Amelie or Noah. I mean, like, this is your new daddy, or like, this is daddy.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I get sometimes maybe if there was like, if one of the parents passed away and it was like very early on and
they
were really
passed,
in
their,
like,
yeah.
But not when the other one's alive. They're going back and forth between their houses. And
yeah,
also, this is like a
them.
New girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, you know, you were around my son. I want you to tell me a little bit about what that was. And, you know, does my son have a room? Does my son have a bed? Like, what's the situation over there? And she said, you know, I was hoping you didn't ask me that. As a parent, I would sleep on the cold, hard floor if that meant that my child got somewhere to sleep. I would eat nothing if it meant that my child got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that Taurus told me and the pictures that she showed
me. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Broke me. It broke me.
I just got goosebumps.
Because I had trusted Melvin to be at least a good parent. I don't give a shit about how you treat me. But how you treat my child, I will never, ever forgive Melvin for that.
Oh my God.
Ever. She also told me about how on my son's birthday that Melvin couldn't even be bothered to get my child a
Jesus.
Couldn't even be bothered to get my child a cake. And when Taurus second guessed him on it, he iced her out all day, ignored her, forgetting, because she went and got him a gift. She went and got him a cake. She made sure his nails was clean. She made sure that his hair was done. Taurus was taking care of my kid. And she knows that I am forever thankful, because at least I knew then that he was being taken care of.
Oh my God.
Taurus also lets me know that Melvin doesn't just have one job now, he has two, because he has to afford his lawyer and he has to afford his gender affirming surgeries. So the time frames that Melvin did have my son, he was gone. He was working his job to pay for, you know, to be a man. So after this, I called my lawyer. And funny enough, my lawyer goes, oh, hey, I was just about to call you because Melvin is ready to sign. Whole year, and all of a sudden, Melvin's ready to sign, right? Because Melvin knew, right? Melvin knew that Taurus had called me at this point, right? So I tell my lawyer, no, I'm not signing. I'm taking them to court. She was like, what's going on? I sent her everything. I told her everything. She looked at the documents and the pictures I sent her, and she said, okay, we're going to court. I said, yes, we are. She said, if you could get Taurus to testify, your case will be very strong. And I said, okay. So I called Taurus and I said, listen, you've already given me more information and done more for me than I could ever ask. Will you be willing to testify with me in court? Taurus said, yeah.
We love Taurus.
So I called Taurus and I called my lawyer. I let my lawyer know. She's willing.
That is fucking crazy. I do have to say, I thought that Caroline, remember those people that
Caroline
were all stalking?
Kathy.
Caroline, Kathy. I thought they were going to be in a bit of
a
love triangle. Yeah.
I
thought that was a
twist.
Absolutely.
When she started to say they were stalking her, I thought it was going to be like, they're all hooking up.
Yeah. From the second that she brought out the chart, I was like, oh.
As soon as there was a sister involved too, I was like, oh, they're going to close this loop.
And then this is her final part before she did any updates or anything.
So of course, what does a narcissist do? He starts trying to make and do little things to try and scare everybody involved. So like I posted on the last video at the end, like a message where they're talking to Taurus's mom about like, how could she do this to me? Now I'll have to.
That was one of the in-between parts, but we're sticking to the main parts so we can get through it.
Like, that's crazy to me. And if you haven't seen it, please go look at it. It's ridiculous. So at this point, me and Taurus are building the case, or I really don't have to build a case. I have a case. So really, she's just giving me as much info as she has. And let me tell you, it was crazy how much info she had. But like, I really wanted to focus on the transition thing because it was like just a lack of stability. And the thing that was crazy is like, even in the relationship with Taurus, I'm not going to transition. All I'm going to do is get top surgery. I don't want to transition. I don't want to be a she, her. And like within a week was like, just kidding. I'm going to make the rest of my gender affirming care, you know, schedule out. Like just like overnight, like just like on some crazy shit, like
it was just really weird because I'm trying to understand, like, why are you trying to hide your transition? If this is like your true self, why are you hiding it? And like, why are you being so secretive about it? No one cares about you transitioning. Everyone really just wonders why you can't be honest, why you got to scam women and saying that you're not doing it when you are. Like,
I don't think that's a scam necessarily, but it's a lie or omitting the truth, I think. But like, she uses scam a lot.
And just like forcing them into relationships and like promising them one thing and then doing another.
I could see how you would feel scammed by the relationship, but not by the transition necessarily.
Yeah.
So we get to court, and of course, I am with Ashley, my girlfriend, and with Taurus, Melvin's ex-girlfriend, and they are there to obviously for support, but also to testify in the event that I need those people to testify. Cool. Y'all, imagine outfits. Melvin comes to court with Caroline by his side. Caroline is Ashley's ex-wife. I don't have my board, and I'm really sorry, but I want to get this.
I don't have my board.
So Melvin shows up with Caroline, and cool, we're in the courtroom. The divorce is agreed upon. Obviously, Melvin, who was representing themselves, is wanting to keep this, you know, keep everything the same. And obviously, I'm going in there vouching for something different. So obviously, everyone testifies. Taurus testifies. Even Caroline gets on the stand talking about absolutely nothing. So I don't really understand what their whole thing was. But like, they did not come to court ready to fight. They came to court ready to try and prove a bunch of stuff that didn't matter. Like, this is not civil court. What was focused on for some reason is the main focus in court was Melvin kept saying something about like, oh, well, I'm about to be fired from my job. And Taurus and Brittany have something to do with the fact that I'm getting fired from my job. Mind you, this case is about something completely separate. Everybody is confused. My lawyer's like, what is she talking about?
I feel like some people have such a misunderstanding of how the court works, which is like totally fine because it is very confusing. But also like, people don't know what they're doing half the time, especially if they don't have like any experience with it. They go in there, they think they're going to be arguing X, Y, and Z, and the judge will tell you so quick to shut the fuck up. And like,
it's like they're bringing contextual stuff that is not relevant to what the actual like hearing is even about.
Right. I'm going to skip forward a little bit.
Now, at this point, we had already noticed some things, but Ashley's daughter, who is Caroline's daughter, ends up, she's older than my son, so she can talk a little bit better, and ends up telling us that, you know, Melvin and Caroline are in a relationship and that Melvin lives over there.
They did fuck.
I need the chart.
No. Okay. Caroline is Ashley's ex-wife. So now it's like
Caroline and Melvin are together.
Yeah.
And now their exes are both together. So it's like, exactly. Okay. Got it.
Talk about fucking reheating your own nachos. That's like a really, really weird thing to do.
I was like, where's Kathy coming back into this?
Yeah. Kathy's going to join. I just know it.
This person, a mother, sits in court and watches, sees the conditions that and sees the testimony that we give, and also sees the testimony of the girlfriend, where she is saying, I do not trust this person around my child. I do think that they are not in a position to be a parent. They
really
aren't doing what they're supposed to
do. And then you put your kid in
and
that.
They are unstable. Like, you're watching this as a person and you're just going along with it because you guys probably have heard about this. Narcissists have these people that ride down for them called flying monkeys. Now, flying monkeys, because they hate you, they believe everything a narcissist says. It doesn't matter how bad it is or what this narcissist is doing to you, they're okay with it because they want to believe so badly that you're this awful, terrible person. So at this point, Melvin is living and presumably dating Caroline, my girlfriend's ex-wife. Now, honestly, good on you. But
good on
you. It just proves that the scam is still alive and well. But honestly, they've kind of found the perfect person to scam, right? Because this person hates me just as much as they do. So it's just like perfect, right? They could both sit there and talk shit and like they're okay with their relationship being like that. And like I said before, good on you. But I do want to point something out that I think is crazy that anybody would be willing to allow. Anybody that knows who I'm talking about can confirm that this person, Melvin, who is black, has only ever dated white women, mixed women, Asian women, anybody that looks different than they do. Because honestly, there's a lot of self-hatred in there, right? Like, this person hates...
Wait, what is this? Oh, not the Twitter history.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's a lot of colorist shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bad.
Women, they hated being a woman, and they hate themselves. Melvin has found him a dark-skinned woman that has everything that he needs as far as resources. So guess what? On to a new scam. This is going to be the last video. Hopefully, nothing else happens. But I want to say this. I am so happy that I've done this. My moms out there who are dealing with a narcissistic co-parent, I commend you. Never stop fighting. Never stop trying. And if you see people with narcissistic qualities, call them out. Leave them. Go away. Leave them where the fuck they're at. Try to use your intuition. Friends, if you see people that are, all of a sudden your friends are disappearing and they're dating somebody weird, fucking say something. Don't leave them in the dark. Like, try your best and keep going for them. We need community with each other to stop things like this.
Yeah, that's why I'm very thankful for friends that I have, like my friend Abby, bro. Like, I've never, I'm telling you, met anyone as honest as that. Our friend is going through some shit and she will literally, like, flat out, in her face, just be like, he's a fucking loser and he doesn't like you. So, like, let's stop. Like, let's just stop doing this. And I'm like,
well, that's Abby, when people are too so close honest. To something, they just like can't see it sometimes.
Can't see it. Yeah.
But also, I feel like the friend has to be receptive to someone telling them that and not just like then make it so they're like trying to like self-isolate from that friend so they don't hear all of the truth because they can't handle it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that she did the best that she could with the place she was in life. There's many areas that I'm sure she, and I mean, it's pretty obvious in her recounting of this, like wishes she hadn't done, you know, certain things.
I mean, it was similar to Risa Tisa. She was like, I saw the red flags and I knew it was weird, but you just don't want to believe that someone is doing
right.
that.
She did also do a TikTok clarifying things, doing some addressing of comments that she's gotten. And I think that one of the comments she's gotten is basically people accusing her of having an issue with Melvin transitioning. And to that, she basically says, like, she's a lesbian. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, if you're with a partner and they transition into a different gender, that is a very, very personal thing. Not everybody is pansexual and feels attracted to, like, every gender. Like, that's just not realistic. So, like, and she didn't even say also that she wouldn't be into it. Like, she just was, like, asking, like, is that what's happening? You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I understand. I mean, it's a big change. And that's not, like, that's not what the relationship started out as. And I feel like a lot of the time, people that do transition are aware of that. And they're like, I know that this isn't what you signed up for.
Exactly. But she basically describes her main issue with the transition being how it affected their son together. And I do think that there are valid points to that. I think that kids are very adaptive, but it has to be done in a way that kind of caters that, because otherwise they just get confused and like they don't know what's going on. So
and you don't really know the damage it might be causing when it's happening until like down the line a little too.
Yeah. And I think that if you do it with grace and in a smooth transition and, you know, you explain things in a way that they can understand at that age, I don't see an issue with it. I think that her issue was Melvin lying and then just like popping out with top surgery and like being like, hey, you call me daddy now. Like, that's a lot for a kid. She also explains how the baby is only biologically hers, but Melvin did sign the birth certificate. So that does, you know, bring up the custody situation.
How?
I think as the father.
I was inseminated with donor sperm. So I was pregnant with my baby plus donor sperm. Okay. Ended up getting married when I was about 6 months pregnant. And Melissa signed the birth certificate. Okay. I thought that in order for Melissa to have the same parental rights as me, since I was the biological parent, that they had to adopt the child as well.
Yeah,
that's what
turns
I would,
out,
yeah.
Not true here in Texas. Here in Texas, if you sign the birth certificate, since Melissa signed the birth certificate, she is given just as much parental right as I am.
That's fucking crazy.
I just don't know where would she even sign it. Am I just ignorant and don't get it?
I'm gonna look at a Texas birth certificate really quick.
Because if it was before she transitioned, then
mother's name prior to first marriage, father's name prior to first marriage. That's just an example that I'm seeing. It could be slightly different, but I feel like it always says mother and father. So I do wonder how that
especially
works
in Texas.
Especially Texas, yeah. No, yeah, that's very interesting. Here in Georgia, I think we've talked about this before. Like, even if you're on this birth certificate, like if you're not married, you essentially have no parental rights. Like, you have to like go to court and like file for paternity of that child.
That's crazy.
I know, it's very antiquated. But then if you're married, they don't do any sort of paternity test. Like, you're just the father and you have just as much rights.
No, so it makes no sense. Weird.
But yeah, no, basically she is seeking child support. Melvin hasn't paid, surprise, surprise. Probably tormenting an innocent woman somewhere.
And I was like, next victim.
And lying to proceed in life. I don't get people like this. Like, I don't understand what they get
what
out of it.
What the end goal is.
Yeah, I really don't understand it other than like, God, you're such a dick. Like, you're just going around life like just like, a fucking tornado.
Ruining people, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm very grateful that Brittany's a good storyteller and that she was able to get through it, because it was like a long story. And she does have like little bits where she's answering questions. So if you guys want to go see that, she also has a couple funny TikToks where she's like, let's just say some funny shit that happened, because there was no shortage of like things Melvin did that were ridiculous.
Well, that's even with the serious stuff. She did have a good sense of humor about
it. She did, yeah. But she is good. The child is good despite anything that they had gone through. And yeah, she better work. Love that. Who the fuck did I marry?
Well done. I'm glad you got out of it.
Maybe we should check before marrying. I'm just saying, guys, we need to do... I mean, it says the one who got married in 6 months. I literally could have married a serial killer. I say that all the time. Like, my decision-making skills were so poor. It turned out great for me. Doesn't usually. I just want to put that PSA out there. I don't want people to see my story and be like, yeah, oh my God, I could meet a random guy outside of a gay club, make out with him, and marry him in 6 months. Yeah, it was literally the exception, not the rule. So don't do that. Let's hold our horses before marrying people, and don't marry people for insurance, okay?
And don't buy them a car in exchange for their ring.
Never, ever buy them a car.
It's not a thing.
No. Anyway, we love the internet.
Yes, I have one that I found right before we started filming.
Why is Ash Trevino back on my FYP? Like, what's happening?
I don't know.
Do you know that trend that's like, I'll call you back, my plug, Colin? It's like the song, and it's just that portion of the song. Okay, I have one from that. Wow, you knowing a trend I saw?
I know, shocking.
You're really hip with the times.
Finger on the pulse. And then I sent you mine. It's a dog shocker. Back my plug, Colin.
Dylan, this is Cheryl, your grandma. Don't eat that maple walnut scone. I got to thinking, I didn't remember it was called walnut, and I looked and it's got walnuts in it. So the cranberry one doesn't, and the cinnamon chip one doesn't, but maybe you better just be safe and not eat any of the three, because they're all manufactured in the same place. Give me a call back. Bye.
Give me a call back. I loved that so much. I miss my grandma so much. But hi, this is Cheryl, your grandma.
Every time. It's like parents that sign like, love mom. And it's like, it's a text. It's like,
yeah, I know who it is. From. I can see it. Yeah. Caller ID was a thing many years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, your says he was supposed to be euthanized tonight.
Yeah, and he's not. But play the audio, because there's voiceover.
He could just never stop. It's so like happy. His body can't contain the joy.
He's a baby. Look how
pretty he is. I had volunteered with him over 8 months. Then I got a call from another volunteer one day, and she said, "Did you hear? Sachi has 24 hours." And I raced our work to get him. He went from being so confused and not sure why he was in this moving box to he was just so joyful. He just fell asleep with the biggest smile on his face. And they feel safe like that.
Oh,
and
you can he's watch so cute.
That. I mean, selfishly, it's the best feeling in the world. I'm convinced Sachi's favorite thing will always be to fly. No matter how much he flies, it always brings a smile to her face.
Oh my God. How freaking cute. Thank God people like that exist. Jesus.
I know. That was so
cute. A world without Sachi would not be a very good world.
No.
Well, anyway, guys, if you made it to the end, we appreciate you, but that's all we've got. So we'll be leaving you. I feel like now I'm just like adding on to it. Just something new every time.
A new goodbye.
Yeah. But as always, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you on Friday. Bye.
Cheers.